Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's Chuck Berry bringing us back. One of the great, one of the 100 greatest guitar players of all time. What a great performer. 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I am the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. We're talking about our good friend Dave Anderson, I should say, and his book is called Up Your Business, Second Edition, Revised and Expanded. I encourage you to check that out. Also, other books by Dave, How to Deal with Difficult Customers and Running Your Business, How to Run Your Business, by the book. Dave, thanks again for hanging out with us. We're talking about how to know when to quit. And, right. And you know, there is no more troubling, excruciating, agonizing, frustrating decision that any small business owner has to make, Dave, than this. How to know when to shut it down. I've had to shut down a business before.
Right.
And I'll tell you something. And you know what? We always wait too long.
We do. We always wait too long. And you
it's
know
what?
The reason we do, Jim, I think there are a couple reasons. Well, one reason is we think quitting is an unnatural thing. But
yeah.
If you look,
it is.
You look at
I don't
life,
like it.
You know, life is full of seasons. No yeah. product lasts forever. No mm-hmm. business lasts forever.
Yep.
No employee is going to stay with you forever. And I think if you change the way you look at it, that, you know, just like you're out there pruning your rose bushes, not every branch is going to be there. Not every branch is going to last forever. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
it dies. You got to get rid of it so something good can grow. If you look at quitting something or ending something as a more natural outcome, you're not going to be as reluctant to do it, and then the pride gets in the way. And you wrote an article about this. We say, you know, we've got this emotional investment in this.
Mm-hmm.
We've got this financial investment in this. We've got to keep going. We've got so much in it, we can't stop, and that just compounds an already bad problem.
That's
we
a
call
big
it the Concord
thing.
Fallacy.
That's a big thing for small businesses. I've got 10 years of my life in this. I've got,
that's right.
What will they think? What will they think? You know, you get all
that's
that
right.
that in you, and the article he's talking about, folks, is the one I wrote about the Concord fallacy. That the people who made the English and the French who made the Concord, the supersonic jet transporter, they knew before it ever left the ground the first time, they knew they had a loser. They knew it was not going to work profitably and successfully the way it should before it ever was test flown.
Right. Right.
And yet they stayed with it with what they call the principle of sunk costs. I've already sunk this much in it. I better go on. But the truth is, they would have been better off to cut their losses and gone in another direction.
Well, they would have been, and I love what you said in the article that, you know, if you're weighing the viability of a financial enterprise, of any type of enterprise, you can't weigh the fact that you've got this much invested in it as a reason to continue. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can't persist in that stupidity. I mean, we talk a lot about consistency and how important it is, but, you know, being consistent in the wrong thing is foolish. Emerson said a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds. You know, Churchill said, I would rather be right than consistent. And so that's where you have to look in the mirror and just face reality and say, listen, what grounds for believing do I have that things are going to be any different tomorrow than they are today?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not going to, I've got to move on. I've got limited time and resources, and as a good business owner, I've got to invest them in the people and the strategies where I'm getting a return and the products where I'm getting a return.
Well, and you've got to look, this is where you have to really take a hard look, and I've had to do this, Dave. I don't know if you have, but I've had to look around and say, okay, what is the real purpose for me run this business? There's got to be a financial factor in it, and if it's not financially producing, after I've given it plenty of time, if it's not producing the financial opportunities, and I don't truly have an expectation that it's going to get better, something I'm certain of, then you got to make the hard decision.
That's right. And, you know, that's what the leaders really are there to get paid for. We get paid for making the tough decisions. And it's the tough decisions that, you know, I heard a guy say one time that any average intelligent college sophomore or junior can make 80 or 90% of the decisions that we make every day. We're paid for the other 10 or 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those tougher decisions. And if you can't make them, then that's sometimes the final nail in the coffin. You stick with the wrong proposition or the wrong person too long. I know people who have untalented people. They keep training them, hoping that they're going to get
talented. That's the big, and small business owners are the worst at that.
They are. They hire negative people.
Well,
they
we're keep family. But we've been, this person's like family, right?
I know. They hire negative people, and they keep giving them pep talks, thinking they can make them happy. Or corrupt people and keep giving them lectures on ethics and expect them to straighten out. And you don't make those people. You have to hire those people in, you know.
That's right.
It's just a classic example.
Once you're convinced that you've done everything you can do, you have to get to that point. You have to say, okay, I'm taking an inventory here. I've done this, 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 and this. There's one more thing I could do to turn this person around. I'm going to try that, but if nothing happens after that, then I've already made the decision. He's got to go.
That's right. You cannot lower the bar to accommodate the person. You cannot lower the bar to accommodate the person. You've got to stretch the person to reach your bar.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just a strategy of surrender. And I see a lot of business people doing that. It's extremely costly and foolish.
I know a guy who was wealthy. His business was doing great, but his industry was dying. And for a long time, it ate away at his equity. But he had 300 employees, and he was loyal to those employees. And he literally rode that company and the industry down to bankruptcy, trying to be loyal to the employees. And now he's not rich anymore.
No.
He's a good person. He's as good a human being as you'd ever want. And not that money makes you happy, but he did have it at one time. And because he couldn't make that decision earlier on, when it was inevitable, he's now doing something else. Dave, give us your website, please.
It's learntolead.com. Spell it out just like it sounds.
And his books are available wherever books are sold. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.